Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to just finish up here with where we were with, we were talking about rebellion. We were talking about different kings during the days of David. Most of this focused around the life of David. First of all, of course, would be Saul and the rebellion of Saul. And of course, the rebellion of Saul was mainly a rebellion against God. So we were asking the question then, was David a rebel? Were David's men rebellious that came to him? And I don't believe that we can describe them as rebellious. They were just men who had come under the oppressive order of Saul, and they were just plain sick. They were just plain sick of the spiritual atmosphere that was going on in the days of Saul. And they were crying for something better. They were crying for God's order and God's will. Well, then God was the one that appointed David, of course, and even as God had appointed Saul. But God was not the one who appointed Absalom. Absalom was one who appointed himself to be king, decided that he wanted to take over, that he was going to be in, therefore, in rebellion against God's order, against David. Now, you notice that David never raised himself up against Saul. He said he's the, what was the term he used? The anointed one of God. In other words, he was chosen of God. Regardless of his terrible condition, David was not going to be the man to kill him and take him out of the way. So, we're in the middle of Absalom's rebellion, and there's a couple of interesting characters here that I'd like to take a look at. Chapter 17, we find this man Ahithophel. Now, as I think I read before, that Ahithophel was a man, I don't know if I'm saying that right. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 17. Ahithophel was a man who was considered a valuable counselor to King David. But when Absalom raised up his rebellion, Ahithophel went with him. And Husai was another one of David's counselors. And David said to Husai, listen, don't go with me. Don't flee over out of town. I want you to go back. I want you to join yourself with Absalom. And because somehow David knew that Ahithophel was turning against him, was deceiving him, was, what's the Judas term here? Betraying him, yes. And so Ahithophel went back also, Husai went back and told Absalom, he said, well, you know, I was loyal to David, I'm going to be loyal to you now. And of course, Ahithophel was the one that gave Absalom that rotten advice about how to deal with these women that were left behind, and how he should go in onto them way up on the top of the house and just set up tents and defile them all. And so then it came time that they said, Absalom said, well, I want to go after David now. How are we going to do it? Who's going to give me advice on how to do it? Well, Ahithophel came to him and said, let me gather 12,000 men and we're going to go after him right now. And I'm only going to go after David. I'm going to smite him. And it's going to all be over with. And he said, well, let's get somebody else's opinion on this. So he asked Husai. And Husai said, well, let's get all of Israel together and let's go out and out in the field and out after him, you know, Let me read you what Husai said here. Husai said unto Absalom, "The counsel of Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Husai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people." Well, Ahithophel had told Absalom, "Your father's going to be weak and weary, and we can wear him down, and we'll get him when he's weak and weary." Well, Husai said, "No, David is not a weak man. He's a strong, he's a mighty man. The men that are with him are mighty. We need to take more of a force." And, I got thinking, well, what is the difference? They both were going to attack David. Why was Husai's advice so much better, insofar as David is concerned, than the advice that Ahithophel gave him? Has anybody figured that out yet? Well, the only thing that I can figure out is that it was going to give David more time to call in all these troops from all over Israel. Was going to take time, and it was going to give David a little more time to get a little further away from town and to actually get out and get over the Jordan River and be in a safer place and get out into the woods where they could carry on the battle in a little more reasonable way. Well, these two young priests, I don't know if I mentioned this before, these priests, these young fellows, the sons of Ahimelech, is it? Husai said to Zadok and Abiathar, those are the priests' names, okay? He said, "Here's what Ahithophel said, here's what I have said, and he's taking my advice." Now, it says in verse 16, "Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him." See, now he knew that they had women and children traveling with them. And they were not able to travel like a big military army, just march all night long, you know, and just move swiftly and be ready to fight at a moment's notice. No, they had women and children with them. And so he said, "Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city, and a wench," that's a young handmaiden, "went and told them, and they went and told King David." So you see, we have a series. I'm doing mostly storytelling here today, brethren. I hope this is all right. These things are hard to understand. You really got to read this and really dig into it carefully. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 17. We're talking about the rebellion of Absalom here. Okay? So these young men were kind of in hiding outside of Jerusalem. Because if they had been seen coming into Jerusalem, now it was okay for the priests to be in there. In fact, David had sent Zadok back. He said, "You and Husai go back." He said, I want you to be there. I want you to pretend. I want you to report. You know, get a message out to me. Tell me what's going on." So Zadok was not being disloyal, and neither, in matter of fact, was Abiathar. Now Abiathar, remember, he was the priest who was the son of the one that Saul killed his whole family. And he was the only one of that family of, how many did I say it was? Was it 70? Or 80?
85.
The only one of the whole family of 80-some priests that Saul did not have Doeg kill. Okay? So these priests at this time, remember now, at this time they're still loyal to David. They're not in rebellion, none of them. Okay? So these young men, okay, got the word. A young handmaiden carried the word to them from their fathers who were still in Jerusalem. Okay? Now, there was a young fellow that saw these young men, saw them get the word from this girl, and he went and reported it to Absalom. And Absalom immediately sent a troop out looking for them. A squad, what do you call it? Squad.
Squadron?
No, these gangs that go after somebody that's holed up, you know.
SWAT team.
Yeah, I call it a SWAT team. Absalom sent his SWAT team out to get these young fellas. But they were at a house that had a well. And so the woman let them down in the well. Listen, I tell you what, women were very, very involved. No names given to these women. Women let these young men down into the well. Now, they didn't get drowned or anything. They just went down into it. She took a cloth and spread it across the top of the well so nobody would know it was a well. And then she spread corn on top of it like she was sifting out the corn and getting the chaff off of it. You know, hey, no problem. Just working on the corn here. You know, and she lied. She out and out lied. When Absalom's men came, she said, "Well, you know, yes, I think those young fellows were here, but they went over that way. They went over the creek, and they're gone already. They went looking for them, never found them. As soon as Absalom's guys were out of sight, the young men came up out of the well and ran and told David what was going on. They said, David, get out of here. Get across the Jordan. Get as far away from here as you can." So he did, and when Ahithophel found out that his advice was not taken, he went home. He had a home somewhere outside of Jerusalem. He went home, put his affairs in order, and hung himself. Oh. I can't figure that out. I mean, couldn't the man just say, "Well, they didn't take my advice"? No. You know what Ahithophel knew? He knew that Hushai's advice was going to save David, and David was going to be back. And when David came back, he was going to be in trouble. And there were a lot of people in trouble when David came back. But you know what? Well, David did come back. You know the story. He told all the men, he told the soldiers, he said, "I don't want anybody to kill Absalom. I don't know how he intended to take him. I don't know how he intended. He just had a love for that rebellious son Absalom." And there were some men that found Absalom hanging in a tree. All that big hair he had got tangled up in a terebinth tree. They call it an oak tree in the Bible. He was riding on a mule. The mule went out from underneath him, and there he hangs. He could not get himself untangled from the branches of the tree. And so they went and they told Joab. He said, "Hey, you know, Absalom's over here hanging in a tree." And Joab said, "What? You didn't kill him?" So Joab went and he took three spears and ran all three of them through Absalom. And then 10 of his men got around Absalom, and they pummeled him. Well, Absalom died. They buried him. By the way, Absalom had no sons. Did you know that? He had a daughter, and when we get beyond Solomon, you're reading who married who and who got a wife of who. One of these other kings married either a daughter or a granddaughter of Absalom. Very interesting. Kind of the bloodline came back into the king line again. So here's one of these verses. I might have read it. When they came back, Joab wanted to kill everybody. He wanted to kill Shimei. He wanted to kill this one. He wanted to kill that one. And Shimei, the guy that threw dirt at David, cursed him. And Joab said, "Let's go kill him." And here's what David said. David said, "What have I to do with ye, ye sons of Zeruah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" Look, I know I'm king. I don't have to go killing people to know it. It's all been taken care of. You know? Now, another point I found it where he says, "Ye sons of Zeruah, you're too much for me." So who is this Zeruah? This is why I wrote this on the board here. Who is Zeruah? Zeruah is a woman. Amasa was the man that, the names here, that Absalom made general in place of Joab. All right, Absalom had Amasa, David had Joab. Joab was still loyal to David. Now remember, keep track of these loyalties because they're going to falter when the next rebellion comes along. Who is Amasa? He was the son of Abigail. She was the daughter of Nahor, I abbreviated, I'm sorry, who was a half-sister of David. So Jesse must have had another wife at some point in time that produced this one, who was the mother of Abigail, who was the mother of Amasa. So this Amasa was David's grandnephew. And Zeruah was David's half-sister, of whom Joab and the other two fellows that were also in David's army were sons of Zeruah. Now the one son Abner killed. And so Joab and his brother went after Abner, and Joab personally murdered Abner. This is after the Saul rebellion. He murders the general that followed Saul. Now the general that follows Absalom, when Joab gets a chance, he murders him. David wanted to make peace with these men. David wanted to make peace with Abner. Joab killed him. He wanted to make peace with Amasa. And Joab does the same thing. He comes over to him. Are you in health, my brother? Hey, how you doing? And he grabs him by the beard with one hand and rams a sword into him with the other hand. And the man is wallowing around with his innards coming out. Well, this is Joab. I mean, loyal, but a murderer. Loyal up to a point. Now, I want to finish this thing up here. I want to go over to Second or First Kings, and there is another rebellion coming. By the way, you know, when I'm asking a question, I'm asking myself a question. What is there? Can somebody help me? What is there in the heart of people that they cannot discern what God's order is? That they would follow a rebel like this? Did not the people understand that David was anointed to be the king? And is God so fickle that he's going to change his mind every couple years and throw him out? Yes, David had some problems. David had some sins. But David had a heart after God. David had a repentant heart. And that they could think, for instance, that Absalom was going to be a better king, that we'd all be better off under Absalom than we were under David. And now that David is old, by the way, you know David only lived to be about 70 years? Did you know that? And he was an old man at 70 years old. He was so old and infirm he could hardly walk, he couldn't take care of himself, he couldn't keep warm. They had to go out and find a little handmaiden, what was her name? A little Shunammite. She had a name. To try to keep him warm. He never knew her. He never touched her. But she ministered to him. Apparently she personally took care of him. Took care of his needs. Helped him get up. Helped him do this. Helped him eat, you know. And he was old and he was dying. And here we have another son, Adonijah. Now, I
want to answer your question.
Yes.
To me it seems like people are willing to sell out God and the sacrifice that he asking you to make for the pleasures that someone else will come along and offer them.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, to fulfill their earthly pleasures. And that's what Absalom did.
They'll buy the lie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you, if I were king, I would do this or I would do that. And that's the same way people on the earth do today. They'll sell out their freedoms, they'll sell out godliness. They'll sell out anything as long as somebody promises them something worldly good.
I guess I'm talking about the body of Christ.
Yes.
People who call themselves after the name of Christ. Why will they follow after something like this? Has discernment and discretion completely gone? Have the gifts of the Holy Spirit gone? I mean, the discerning of spirits. What about that? Can we not discern a spirit of rebellion anymore? You know, and I'm laying in bed last night and I'm thinking, my God, what is going to make the difference? How is it going to come out that black is going to be black and white is going to be white? How are we going? Yeah, I mean, people that are deceived are cocksure that they're right. No, I don't mean that as a bad term. I mean they are bona fide sure that you're wrong and they're right. And I, you know, when I encounter people like that, I always ask myself, my God, am I being deceived? This guy's 180 degrees from where I am. Am I going wrong? Please correct me, Lord, if I'm going the wrong way. And I'm gonna meditate on this. I'm gonna pray on this. I'm gonna hold it before the Lord for a long time. After a while, I'm gonna come to a conclusion. No, thus and thus saith the Lord. This is the way we need to go. But I'm wondering, don't people do this? Do they just blindly follow? So here we have again. Now,
David. With Bathsheba?
Yes, he sinned, but he repented.
Didn't God take the child because of
He took the child, yes.
Because of the sin,
that child was lost. But another child came along named Solomon. And God revealed to David that Solomon was to be the man who was to follow him as king. Now, David is old. He's getting close to 70 years old. He's dying. His body is failing. And it says here in 1 Kings, the first chapter of the first verse, Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel. By the way, they didn't have furnaces, I guess, in those days. They had to find a damsel to keep him warm throughout all the coasts of Israel, and they found Abishag the Shulamite and brought her to the king, for the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. He was old. He was either incapable, or he had. I'd like to say that he came to the place where he overcame lust. Can we say that about David? I heard somebody say that. I like it. I think that's a good explanation. David overcame. Amen. And it says, then Adoniah, A-D-O-N-I-A. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, if you go back to find out who this Adonijah was, I think I said it last week, I may have said wrong, that I may have misspoken in saying that he was Absalom's full brother. No, he was not Absalom's full brother. 2 Samuel chapter 3, I think it's verse 3, says that he was a half-brother of Absalom. It says, and unto David, verse 2, were sons born in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. Now, Ammon was the one that Absalom killed because he violated Absalom's full sister. Man, these full and half are hard to keep track of. All right. His second son, Chileab, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. All right, let me just stop here a minute. I don't hear any more about this fellow. I don't hear any more about his name is Daniel, really. Chileab is another name for Daniel. I hear nothing of him. I'm thinking that the young man may have died somewhere along the line, because now the next one here, and the third was Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Tamar, king of Geshur. All right. Now, so at the time of Absalom's rebellion, he could very well have been the oldest son, the oldest living son of David. Now we come to the next one. We see these are all dead, assuming this Chileab or Daniel has died somewhere along the line. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephathiah, the son of Abitai. And the sixth, Iphtharamion by Eglah, David's wife. These are born to David in Hebron. All right, he had a number of wives. But this Adonijah may very well have been the oldest son, and may have very well said to himself, well, I am the eldest now. I have a right to the throne. But you see, God's choice was somebody else. God's choice was Solomon. So he arranged, he prepared himself. He said he exalted himself, it says. Now, you know, God doesn't have a problem promoting us. What he has a problem with is our promoting ourselves. You know, where does it say in due season he will promote you, he will exalt you?
Humble yourself before the Lord.
Humble yourself before the Lord.
He will exalt you.
And in due season, he will exalt you. Yes, it is. So, the way to the top is humility. But the way to the bottom is trying to get to the top. And this young man tried to get to the top. Now, I don't hear anything about Solomon having a big to-do. I don't hear anything about Solomon complaining about this. Solomon is apparently just quietly sitting back and watching the whole thing. But, says listen to this, verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. It was a different mother, though. Okay? That's what threw me off. Different mother. But here's a situation where his father had never corrected him.
Well, that was David.
David did not, he did not make a good father. He made a good king, but he made a lousy father. And may I suggest that possibly one of the reasons was he had too many wives. Now, you think he had too many, wait till Solomon and find out if he doesn't have too many. And what happened after Solomon? Rebellion again. Rebellion. I tell you what, these sons have got to be brought into line. They've got to be disciplined. They need the father's discipline. And it says David had never displeased this young fellow by saying, what do you think you're doing? Stop it. And bring down some correction on him. It says, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Now here we are, Uncle Joab, or whatever you want to call him, Cousin Joab, something, and he's got Joab going with him now. Okay? And with Abiathar the priest. Remember, this is the same priest that was loyal to David. By the way, he's a descendant of Eli. And remember the prophecy that was given over Eli, that there would not be an old man among his family. And the line of Eli began to die out. Now the only one left after this Abiathar is his son Jonathan. As far as we know, Jonathan is clean. Although we do find Jonathan mentioned here in the Adonijah camp, I don't find him doing anything wrong, just that he's mentioned here, okay? And so he killed sheep and oxen and fatlings and had a big party. But notice who he didn't invite. Verse 10, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. He called his other brothers and sisters to the party, but he overlooked Solomon. Now, what did he know about Solomon? He had to be deliberately knowing, he deliberately knew that Solomon was to be the king and he was going to upset that thing. He must have known to leave him off the guest list. Okay? And the word got to Bathsheba, and she was asked to go before the king. Let's see now, who asked Bathsheba? It was Nathan. Nathan the prophet went to Bathsheba and said, hey, listen, things are not going the way they're supposed to go. I want you to go in and see David. And he said, while you're still talking, I'm going to come in and I'm going to confirm what's happening. David doesn't know what's going on. He's in there in his sick bed. Nobody's telling him. I think it's time for David to know. And so Bathsheba did. She went in. Here's another woman coming in. And David listened to her while she was still talking. Nathan came in, and I think Zadok the priest showed up too. And here's in verse 32, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. And the king said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Amen. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And so they did. Verse 39, it says, and Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Is this true? Did they make such a joyful noise that the earth rent? They shook the earth. No, I don't know whether this happened in the natural, but I think it was a spiritual description here. We're in 1 Kings chapter 1, brother. We just finished reading verse 40, 1 Kings 1:40. The rebellion of Adonijah, okay, another of David's sons. So, there was a great rejoicing. Now, what did this do for Adonijah's party? It says that Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is the noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, here's the mention of Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings. Yeah, he brought good tidings, all right, but not the good news that Adonijah wanted to hear. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. Amen. And Solomon is now sitting on the throne. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 49, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. Party's over. Party's over. Don't be caught at this party.
That was the shortest reign.
That was shorter than Absalom, wasn't it? He reigned for what, about an hour? Yeah, a couple hours maybe. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and rose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah fears the king. For lo, he has caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with a sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. Well, wickedness was found in him, and he did die. He didn't behave himself. And then Joab. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Yeah. Joab, I did mention that Joab killed Amasa, who was the general under Absalom. Now, one of the things that David said to Solomon as David was dying, where is the words that David said to Solomon? Okay, here we are. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, verse 5 of chapter 2, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. He put blood all over him, innocent blood. This is not blood of warfare. This is blood of murder. He murdered those two men. Why? Competition. He wanted to be the big cheese. And he could not take the fact that these men had been exalted, and David said, I want to have peace with them. I'll find a place for them. They can serve me in peace. Joab wouldn't have it. He killed them. And you know what? David couldn't do anything about it, because he was the man in charge of the army. Do you know what happens when the chief general of an army rises up against the king? Do you know what happens? It's called a coup. It happens in these banana republics all the time. General gets a little too big, says he's going against the king. Next thing you know, they throw the king out and the general becomes the next king. Happens in Pakistan, happens in all these countries. Castro, he did that too, yeah. And David couldn't handle the man. He had to live with him. But now, something can be done. He says, therefore, verse 6, according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. That means his gray hair. Some of us have got hoary hair. Amen. Some of us have no hair. Amen. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Behurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. By the way, do you know where this Mahanaim is that David fled to? Do you recognize the name? It's the place named by Jacob, and it means two camps. It was where Jacob wrestled with the angel. And that is the place that David fled to in the days of Absalom. He fled over to Mahanaim. I may not be saying it right.
That's why
it's like Nahumaim. There you go. How do you say it again, Larry?
Nahumaim.
Nahumaim. Well, it starts with an M. Mahanaim. Yeah, Mahanaim. Anyway, as near as I can get it. Amen. And he said, I swore to him, saying, I will not put thee to death. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what oughtest to do unto them. But his hoar head bring down to the grave with blood. Amen. Now, here's, I'll just finish off with these two men. David died. It said David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And Solomon sat upon the throne of David, and his kingdom was established greatly. All right, how did Solomon deal with these two fellows? All right. Joab heard the good tidings, and he did the same thing that Adonijah did. He went into the temple, he got hold of the horns of the altar. Solomon sent Benaniah, go take care of Joab. He sent back, he said, he's in the tabernacle, he's got a hold of the horns of the altar. He says, I can't touch him here. Solomon said, yes, you can. He said, that's where he's going to die, then let him die there. So he finished off Joab. Now, Abiathar the priest, verse 26 of chapter 2, he says, and unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David thy father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. Yes, the man had suffered greatly. He saw all his family killed, escaped barely. Grandson of Eli, the priest. But Solomon said, you went through a lot of afflictions, but you made a bad choice at the end. You're not worthy to be a priest. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest. He fired him, in other words. Amen. Unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. In other words, it's a prophecy. The last of Eli's known priests, now Jonathan is still alive, but it doesn't say he became a priest. Okay? But here's the house of Eli coming to an end. Okay? Now, Shimei is the last one. How's he going to deal with Shimei? He said to Shimei, okay, he said, you're worthy of death, but I'm going to make a deal with you. He said, build you a house in Jerusalem. And don't you ever, he said, the day that you cross the, what's the brook there? The Kidron. The day you cross the Kidron Brook, you're going to die. Well, Shimei apparently had some servants, and they took advantage of the situation, apparently knowing that Shimei was not to leave town, and they escaped. They might have been slaves. They said servants. They might have been bond servants. And they went over to the Philistines, to Gath. I think it was Gath. They went over to the king of Gath and said, hey, we're going to stay here now. Well, Shimei heard about it. And he saddled up and he went out there to the Philistines and collected his servants back. And Solomon heard about it. And he said, you broke our deal, and you're done for. And so he died. Hallelujah. Well, rebellion, an interesting concept, isn't it? But you know, it isn't over. You just continue reading through the rest of Kings, Chronicles. Rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. What a horrible issue among God's people. Lord, help us that we will never turn to such a spirit, that we will never follow after such a thing. Lord, I pray that you deal, that there be no trace of rebellion, no trace of witchcraft, no trace of iniquity found in our soul, in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Pride of man always wants to be top dog.
Yes.
You know? And for what? You know, all you're doing is, you know, inviting all kinds of turmoil, problems, stress in your life, dealing with all these things.
Amen.
Who needs it?
Who needs it?
There must have been a bunch of people who have followed Goliath.
Amen.
Yeah.